All right, we're doing kind of a comparison of counseling philosophies, issues in counseling philosophies. Did you know that there are over 250 theories of counseling philosophies? Did you know that? No, or yes. You knew there was a lot. We're going to study every last one of them now, so buckle your seats and get in. We are not doing that, no. We're going to try to boil them down to their four or five basic roots and begin to see what are the issues in regard to comparing and discerning what we're trying to discern about humans. Now, can you imagine this? There is a growing proliferation of counseling theories out there. There is not a consensus being garnered or gathered in the counseling world in regard to secular counseling. Tell me this. I'm an aerospace engineer. That's not what you're going to tell me, but I'm an aerospace engineer by training. What if there were over 250 different theories about what made an airplane fly? Would you trust your life to that airplane? Of course you wouldn't. You would be saying, man, they don't know what they're doing. Now, there are a lot of sincere people that are trying to help sincere people, and they're coming up with all kinds of theories. And these folks are not our enemies. Say, they're not our enemies. But we have to be critical in the way that we think through what are the causes and cures of human problems. Why isn't the cause of human problems ever considered to be like sin or living in a sin-cursed world? And why isn't the cures ever considered to be Christ? Okay, so we've got to critically think about these things. And when it boils down to the key issues in counseling theory, here it is. The key issue is this. The root question for all clinical psychologies is, what is the nature of human nature? What is the nature of human nature? What is man? Okay, that is the root question. What are they looking at in regard to how do they define what man is and what is his nature? I do kind of do a play on words here. What is the nature of human nature? Now, that boils down to this. Many in the clinical psychology field wrestle with two terms in this regard. Is man comprised mostly of nurture? Okay. Number one, is man mostly comprised of nurture? I know you may not be able to see the handwriting on this, but nurture means this, his environment. Is man mostly a product of his nurture, like the influence of his peers, the influence of his upbringing, the influence of the cultural norms around us, the influence of popular philosophy, the influence of, you name it, things like role models? So that's what clinical psychologists mean when they say, is man a product of nurture, his environment? Or there's another option. Is man a product of his nature? And in clinical psychology, what nature means is this. The way that your biology is wired in you. The way that your genetics is wired in you. So is man a product of nurture, his environmental influences, or is he a product of nature, his biology and his genetics? Which one is it? Maybe all of them? There's a place for all of them? There's something missing even in this. Now think about this, not God yet. But is man a product of his environment or his nature? In the clinical psychology terminology, nature is my genes and my biology. Is there more to you? Is there more to you, Al? Is there more to you? I don't see your name tags. Is there more to you, Dick? Is there more to you, Jason, than biology and chemistry and genetics? What more is there? Is there in some way or shape a person in there? In your heart there. Is there, we talked about the heart last night, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a heart in there? Is there an immaterial part of you? Okay, and that's what we have to wrestle with an answer, but what do you think the answer is for clinical psychology? That third component, is there a person in there? They struggle with even having a basis for saying that there is. You end up being a set of genes or a set of biology or a set of chemicals in your brain or just the product of your dysfunctional family or your bad upbringing. Is it nurture? Is it nature? Is there an ultimate person in there? Now, so that's what we're wrestling with when we come to clinical psychology. And you got those three blanks, right? You got those three blanks?
No.
Yes. Nurture, nature. All right, I'll put them back. And by the way, this is a revised lecture. All right, a theorist answers to those questions about what is man, is he nurture or nature, shapes all aspects of that particular psychology, including the causes and cures of man's problems. You'll see that. As we go through some of these psychologies, you will see that their view of man influences what they say are the causes and cures of their problems. Pastor Good, the former senior pastor of this church, used to say this. I don't know if he quoted somebody, if this was his own quote or somebody different, but he used to say this: behind every secular psychology is an unbiblical anthropology. Behind every secular psychology is an unbiblical anthropology. What that means is this: their view of man begins to shape all their causes and cures. And if they get the anthropology wrong because they don't have a foundation in God, then they're going to get the causes and cures wrong as well. Okay? So, the theorist's answer to the nature of man begins to shape all the causes and cures. And each theory's view of human nature reflects a specific anthropology. I'm sorry, epistemology. What is epistemology? Does anybody know epistemology? Our theory of knowledge. How do we ultimately know what we know? I mean, where did they get the fact that man was a bunch of biology and genetics? Where did they get that? Why do they leave out the fact that man doesn't have an immaterial part of himself? They can't see in a microscope, obviously, in that regard. So each person's or theorist's analysis of man reflects a particular epistemology, his theory of knowledge. How does he even know what he knows? Is it experience? I know what I know because I have experienced it. I know what I know because it's my intuition. It just seems right. Where did Freud get his stuff? Where did Skinner get his stuff? Where did Rogers get his stuff? I know what these I know because of intuition. It just seems right. I know what I know because of reason. Or I know what I know because of science. Now, where has the psychological sciences placed themselves? There's a clue there. The psychological sciences have placed themselves right here in the science category. What is the problem with that? Is there any problem with that in terms of hard and fast science? Tell me what the problem is. Let me give you a little hint here. I'm an aerospace engineer. Here's what I kind of learned that science is all about: observing measurable phenomenon, improving cause and effect results. Okay, so I can see what makes an airplane fly. I can observe that, and then I can manufacture a wing that begins to have the right lift, and I can reproduce that, measuring observable phenomenon, improving cause and effect results. If that is my definition of science, what is problematic about applying that to human behavior? All right, so again, you're mumbling. I can't hear you. Give me one answer. Human behavior changes. Can I observe that, though? I can observe human behavior. Over here. I can't measure it. Okay, can you measure the intensity of her anger over the coat hanger the other day? Now, it may not be as much as your anger over this answer. I don't know. But how do we begin to measure this? Maybe we can come up with scales, but how do they measure the intensity of sadness, depression, those kinds of things? We can begin to see something, but how do I test it in a test tube? And there's where we get into problematic concerns. I don't think we can be consistent here in regard to observing these things. And you're going to see from their own words, quotes from their own words, that they struggle with themselves. Okay? So, one more. One more source of knowledge, and that is revelation. The source of truth from God who made us, God who made man and knows what he is and has defined what he is. So another source of truth. How do we propose to know what we know? The revelation of our God. Now, as we move on, a theorist, after he asks the question kind of like, what is man? He then wrestles with the questions of like, what is a normal man? I mean, have you ever thought about that question? Like, why isn't Why isn't